we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a sign in a Forestry Commission car park seen by several listeners and read by Peter Donaldson.
This area is liable to flooding. If this notice is covered, do not park your car here.
Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Sue Perkins. And opposite them on my left, Simon Evans and Fred McCauley. Jeremy, why do MPs wish they were Sir Thomas Legless?
There's more expenses stuff going on. And the one that's just broken is David Wilshire. For some reason, David Wilshire set up a company with his girlfriend and put his parliamentary expenses into the company, but said, "I've done nothing wrong," which is what children say when they've just put the kitten in the tumble dryer. But we don't know quite why he's done it. And he's referred himself, which either shows incredible self-sacrifice or a personality disorder. But he ran it by the fees office. Said, "Is it all right if I put my expenses in my own private company?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine." But we don't quite know why he's done it, because I'm sure there's a perfectly innocent explanation as to why you would channel parliamentary expenses into your private company.
But £100,000 on office services.
Yeah, staples, things like that.
those platinum
notes.
Staples don't come cheap.
I mean, you could have Damien Hirst copy every document by hand, I would have thought.
Yeah. More effort than he puts into his art. Well,
I noticed that Thomas Legg QC, who's come out with all the recommendations, has sat on various panels beforehand. And for Tony Blair, he looked into a scandal over an arms embargo which had been breached to Sierra Leone, which presumably means at one point there was at least the opportunity to have a headline in a newspaper which read, "Legg heads arms body."
Oh. I don't know if it happened.
That's very good. But this is David Wilshire famously was the man who introduced Section 28 into the...
Yes, he did, which was to stop schools introducing the idea that homosexuality mightn't be a bestial and perverse act punishable by God's wrath. that was your man, Wilshire.
Yes, he was apparently appalled at the contents of a children's book called Jenny Lives with Eric and Martin, and you think if it had only been called Jenny Lives with Eric and Martin in a House Funded by the Taxpayer, that would have been... Oh, right, OK, breaking news. We've never had this on the News Quiz.
Can we start officially calling him the Tory bastard?
No, we can officially call him the ex-Tory bastard. He's not standing in the next election, so... All Jeremy had to do was say a couple of words, the man is gone.
There's a huge cheer from the audience that somebody isn't standing for election now. I'm not.
I was concerned because Thomas Legg has made these decisions now about how much you can spend, right? So you can spend apparently £1,000 a year on gardening and £2,000 for cleaning. And then I was confused because what if you're cleaning a moat? Is that £3,000?
What about the duck house as well?
Duck Island.
It's perfectly possible to find cleaning staff at that rate if you're prepared not to check their papers too thoroughly. I think that's
Ground-in moat stains are a nightmare, though, aren't they?
It's parliamentary expenses, the news story that just keeps giving. Auditor Sir Thomas Legg has asked MPs to pay back thousands of pounds in claims dating back to 2004. Gordon Brown has had to pay back over £12,000, blaming his excessive claims on Conservative policy from the 80s. 2 points to Jeremy. Sue, have a listen to this. Shut up, just shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up by the Black Eyed Peas.
Where did you get that from?
Well, it won the Ivor Novello Lyric Award. Sue, whose gag had a super punchline about a bunch of tweets?
This is digital activism at its finest. This is the Dutch oil company, which I think is called Trafigura or something.
Yes.
And basically, it's not been a very good week to bury bad news, or indeed toxic waste. And this company, I think, dumped thousands of tonnes of brown fun on the Ivory Coast. I say ivory, it's more taupe colour. One bright spark, a Labour MP, decides he wanted to table questions in Parliament about this toxic waste, whereupon the lawyers, who I think are called Carter Ruck, decided they were going to issue a super injunction, which is like a normal injunction, but a man in tights and a cape comes and does it. Basically, they tried to stop the press reporting on what was happening in the mother of all parliaments. They tried to quash freedom of speech, and the Twitterati got hold of this. I say got hold of it in less than 140 characters, obviously. And The Guardian and the rest of them got on board. And I think brilliant, because I used to go on demos, and you have to plan what you're going to wear, and you have to think about taking a thermos flask, and should I bring an extra pair of knickers in case I get kettled and spend the night in Chokey? Actually, all you need to do is sit at home by a bar fire with a bottle of Thunderbird. Just type, yay, good on you, hash Alan Rusbridger. Good, yay, retweet, send, and the world is saved. So, thankfully, those brilliant people online, who are much maligned, saved the day, and now they have retracted their super injunction, and we can all hear about what nasty, dirty, sour, foul-faced people international capitalists are. Yes.
That, Sue Perkins, is where you and I differ. Because I saw the headline, Trafigura Injunction, and I thought, well, that was an a cappella band from the 70s.
It's sort of carry-on. It's the kind of thing that could give oil companies a bad name, isn't it? In the same way that BAE Systems has tarnished the once proud trade of arms dealing.
I didn't even know this. There were super injunctions. I was looking it up. Not only are you barred from reporting the facts, you're also barred from reporting the fact that you've been barred from reporting the facts.
But so, are you barred from reporting the fact that you've been barred from reporting the fact that you've been barred from reporting the fact?
You are. In fact, I think if you... I was trying to work this out. If you even think about the fact that you've been barred from reporting the fact that you've been barred from reporting the fact...
Do you know that even sheep have been barred? don't shoot the messenger. Don't.
Anyway, the story was about the oil company Trafigura, which caused a media storm when it tried to use a super injunction to stop The Guardian reporting an MP's question in the House of Commons regarding its role in a toxic waste spill on the Ivory Coast. MPs were outraged at this apparent threat to parliamentary privilege, and once they'd stopped moaning about having to pay back their expenses, they were also annoyed by Trafigura's super injunction. So 2 points to Ms. Perkins. Simon, when it comes to the financial crisis, who's decided to stop sitting on his assets?
This would be Gordon Brown having the car boot sale of the century.
It's
is
him.
That right? Yes.
It
He's
is.
Selling off the very few remaining assets which Britain PLC still owns, which I think amounts to the tote. I've never known what the tote is. I think it has something to do with racing. I don't know. And there's also the...
I thought it was the Tate.
The Tate. I think it's a couple of toll bridges, the one over the M25 over the motorway, and possibly the Channel Tunnel. And this is all that remains at the bottom of the rag bag that was mainly plundered, of course, during the 80s. I use the Severn Bridge to get, and that's the only one I ever pay for. And I always think it is pretty good value. And I think, you know, because people complain about paying £5 to cross these bridges, and yet they pay £3 to go on a ghost train. It doesn't even go anywhere. You know, I think maybe if they nailed a couple of plastic skeletons to the Severn Bridge and had a cackling imbecile over the tannoy as people drove across, perhaps they'd think they were getting their money's worth. I don't know.
Do you not have an image of Gordon Brown in a pub going, do you want to buy the Dartford crossing?
That shouldn't be allowed, because it belongs to us, as Simon rightly pointed out. Thatcher did this in the 80s, selling off the family silver. And really, if the government wants to raise money in this way, they should have to make jam.
In the guides, we had all sorts of fun ways of raising money. I'd love to raffle off Hazel Blair's. It'd be such fun.
I think I read that they're only going to raise some like 16 billion. And you don't get much for that these days.
It amounts to 1 month of the extra borrowing that we've done over and above our all normal borrowing.
It's a waste of
time.
It
amounts to the payments on 1 month of that. Yeah.
I think we want to sell something that's just a wee bit more valuable.
Maybe
Wales.
Wales, yeah.
Northern Ireland, troublesome but valuable.
The student loan book they're selling.
Yes.
Which I don't know who's written a book about the student loan.
It could be worse. We could find out Gordon's already sold the gold reserves for a third of what they're worth. Gordon Brown will try to raise £16 billion towards paying off the public debt by selling assets, including the Channel Tunnel crossing, the tote, and the student loan book. Gordon furiously denied he was effectively selling off assets in a car boot sale. He will, in fact, be using eBay. The government's first target is to raise £3 billion, and you can see how they're getting on, thanks to a giant thermometer painted on the Houses of Parliament.
We'll be saving milk bottle tops again.
2 points to Simon. Fred, which parasitic germs are revelling in their bonus culture?
You mentioned in the last question to Simon that the government is trying to raise £3 billion initially from selling off assets, and £5 billion is being bandied about this week as being the likely pot of bonus money for the bankers in the City of London. It's an average of £280,000 per person. This is because the bankers have saved the banking world in the last year, which we bailed them out. Bailed them out, and they're now patting themselves on the back and getting £5 billion. And I can't be the only person that's heard people in this country saying, oh, well, we're not getting as much to charity because of the, what was it called again, banking crisis. So I've got a suggestion for the bankers. Why not forgo your bonus for 1 year only and give it all to charity? I have to say, I suspected we might not get a laugh, but I was banking on the applause, so well done.
It's because they know that they could do that and we would still kill them.
This is the trouble, though, we won't kill them, and this is the whole problem. This country has lost its guts and its gumption. There was a time when you would rise up as a people when you saw injustice.
Yes, we've got Twitter now.
What this demonstrates is the limited effect that satire actually has, and the fact that what we need is not gags, but guns.
Just four flaccid clowns railing against the system isn't going to change. I've learnt something for today, Jeremy. Thank you. I'm off to buy a Kalashnikov.
So I went to Lloyds this morning and I said, can I pay this money in, please? And they said, do you have an account here? I said, no, but all my money ends up with your bastards anyway. I thought I'd cut out a middleman there. Actually, I've got a lucrative sideline now. I write to Lloyds once a week and tell them that they're £17 billion overdrawn. In the week that Lloyds TSB has asked the taxpayer for another £5 billion, investment bankers are to be rewarded with record bonuses. Lloyds is increasingly wary of a public backlash and has delayed the rollout of its new slogan, ha ha ha, fooled you. The average Goldman Sachs employee will receive bonus and salary of £467,000 this year. But, hey, if they wanted to be rich, they should have gone into nursing. At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Sue have got 4 points, but so too have Simon and Fred. We start round two with a sign spotted at airport security.
To combat terrorism, the European Union has imposed stricter security measures. Knives, firearms and any object that could be used in an offensive manner will be confiscated. They are then collected by the Emmaus Association and distributed to the underprivileged.
And our thanks to Paul and Jean Diggory for sending us that. Jeremy, who's a hero for size zero?
Oh, Karl Lagerfeld. Karl Lagerfeld. That was a comedy German accent that I just... Karl Lagerfeld has been opining on what's attractive in womanhood, suggesting that women who are very, very thin are more attractive than women who aren't very, very thin. Now, it has to be said that before you opine on which women are attractive, I think you should be somebody who finds women attractive. I'm not being homophobic. God knows you can't be homophobic on this show, which is completely under the control of the gay mafia, who's... You don't risk crossing Sandy, because she's the godmother of the gay mafia and she'll make you a tool shed you can't refuse. But really, I think when it comes to, you know, talking about women's bodies, someone like Karl Lagerfeld, he's allowed to attend as an observer, but he doesn't have voting rights.
But they should have more women of different sizes. They should have people like me. I'm a shape zero.
The problem is... I'd like to see that. Paris Fashion Week. Toxvig. If I don't know, an Alexander McQueen fur thong.
I did like the bit that German fashion magazine Birgitta, which is curiously, bizarrely, my middle name, has little extra piece of information for you there. They said they announced...
My middle name is Danger. Actually, it's not. It's James.
This German fashion magazine, Brigitte, has early announced that size zero models would no longer be appearing between the pages of their publication. I thought that's easier said than done. You are going to have to shake it very hard to make sure none of them are hiding in there. German fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld has said that people prefer looking at skinny models and only fat, crisp-eating mummies complain about them. Ridiculous. Mummies don't eat crisps. Salt gets stuck in their bandages for weeks. Anybody know why Barbie was in the news? I give an extra point.
Yes,
Miss Perkins.
She'd got fat ankles. Cankles. Those as well. And I think it was a French fashion designer was
Christian Louboutin
was redesigning because she had water retention of the ankle and wanted a more slender footy bit. So. I don't remember Barbie from my childhood, mainly because I had an action man. But
I didn't really.
It's fat. Barbie's got fat ankles.
Yes, Barbie's not got fat anything. She's got pneumatic breasts. And then basically she just dwindles into a point. She looks like a biro with knockers.
This was in the news. I don't know if it was in a newspaper this week. I don't know if you call it the news, but she was based apparently on a French soft porn cartoon. Yeah. There's been more than
can
one.
Can cartoon be porn?
Oh, yes. Yes. I don't know.
There are a couple of episodes at Scooby-Doo that had me going, I tell you.
If you made the size of the height of a real woman, she'd have something like an 80-inch bust and a 2-inch waist and yet still can't hold down a job.
She is in a monogamous relationship, though. Come
yeah,
on.
With it's a man whose trousers do up at the back. eccentric shoe designer Christian Louboutin has revealed his limited edition design for Barbie, saying he found the original ankles too fat. I don't think girls want to grow up looking like Barbie, do you think?
Well, it's too late for me.
Most of my generation seem to model themselves on Play-Doh. Simon, whose brainwave needed a broadband connection?
Broadband connection.
It's to do with the brains. It's to do with.
Did I?
Oh, is it a thing where you could communicate without typing or anything? There will be a new internet connection which will enable two people's brains to connect. That's all I ever read of the story, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I have no thoughts about it to illuminate it with humour.
Fred, do you know any more about the story?
Jet, somebody had to look at something, and he was wired up, and then it went to somebody else through the web, and they then looked at something similar, and something happened. I think, obviously,
wow.
I've kind of lost you with the scientific...
Any...
If I could put it into layman's terms, I would, but...
Yeah. potential bonus point there, if either of you know where this was happening... Any actual fact about the story. Did you see that it was also announced that David Blunkett is going to donate his brain to medical science?
Yes.
Although we're not sure if he intends to continue as an MP. yes, it's a team at Southampton University. They've been able to send one person's thoughts to another via the internet. The receiver reads the sender's mind message by staring at a flashing lamp from which they can conclude that the person trying to talk to them may be a lighthouse keeper.
It does mean, then, that we might be able to read each other's thoughts because it is electromagnetic stuff, the brain, isn't it? And if it can broadbandly do it without a wired connection... then that actually makes perfect scientific sense.
Yeah, but in libraries you'd have to have signs that say no thinking. Which, what? To be fair, they have in the Dan Brown section, I believe. Well, apparently you can only communicate in a series of ones and zeros.
Binary, yeah.
Yeah.
Binary thought.
Yeah, well, so...
Who thinks in binary?
Well, I was trying to think of a useful question that could be answered in this way, and all I came up with, how many Dalmatians featured in the Disney classic? Just 1 point to Simon. Do we think 1 point
yeah.
It hadn't quite got
glad
the full...
For that, frankly.
Frankly,
yeah,
hadn't got the full Monty there. At the end of round two, the scores are that Simon and Fred have got 7 points, but Jeremy and Sue are in the lead with 9. And before we start round three. Here's a cutting taken from the Anglesey Echo.
An article in last week's edition incorrectly stated that Gordon Brownan was the leader of the New Forest Plonkers. He is, in fact, the leader of the Plonkers Agricultural Orchestra. The New Forest Plonkers are entirely separate and are led by Gerald Rickman, to whom we apologise unreservedly.
Thanks to everybody who sent us that. Sue, which machine can LH see into the future?
This is the Hadron Collider, which basically is a massive £4 billion proton smasher housed in a 17-mile-long toilet roll, and it keeps going wrong. And basically, they had to switch it off and then switch it back on again, whereupon the Microsoft paperclip emerged and said, "You look like you're trying to create a universe. Would you like some help?" Also, there was a helium leak, which is brilliant, because you've got loads of particle physicists. What do you look like this?
But it was also, it was described as frigid helium, and I thought, ooh, surely slutty helium is much more.
But now a Danish guy called Professor Nielsen has said there's a reason it keeps going wrong. And that's because they're looking for a particle, I think it's a Higgs particle, which is sort of the God particle. And he's basically said that if this was created, the universe would basically be in chaos. And so essentially it's self-defeating. The universe is making sure it never happens by, this is the science bit, by killing itself in the future so that it don't... It's basically Back to the Future meets Terminator meets a man who spent a long weekend with Mr. Bong and Mr. Chillum.
I'm just back from Geneva, incidentally. I went there next week.
He's sort of said, that a time-travelling particle mm-hmm. is killing itself. Could I please have another £4 billion to make it work?
Dr. Nielsen is very famous in Denmark. He was the very first physicist to build a particle accelerator out of Lego.
Do you know how he talked this? They had this on the news in the week, and I thought, well, this is very interesting, and it's an incredible project. I'd like to listen. But no, he speaks like this. Well, the thing about this is... He's like, sounds like the Swedish guy from the Muppets, the chef. He's like...
This is the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC, the biggest science experiment since God said, any minute now it should go bang. Two eminent physicists, Dr. Holger Nielsen of Copenhagen...
Hello!
Can you do your own accent, Sandy?
Do you know, I find it really difficult because it's so long. So, I
mean, just
it
sound is, like you're being strangled. Go on!
This is the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC, the biggest science experiment since God said in any minute now it should go bang.
Yes!
Do it in Danish, which I think it'll be even more interesting. Yeah. Det er den store Hadron Collider, or LHC. Det er det største science experiment. See, we don't have some words. It's a science experiment. Two eminent physicists, Dr. Holger Nielsen of Copenhagen. And Dr. Masao Ninomiya of Kyoto. Two eminent physicists have suggested that the troubled collider is sabotaging itself from the future to prevent the Higgs boson particle being created. So 2 points to Ms. Perkins. Fred, why might our conversations be about to get a lot easier? You and me.
You and I, Sandy. Well, I'm not Glaswegian. This was a story, I think, about a translation company looking for a Glaswegian to English, English to Glaswegian translator. Which I find offensive.
I'm sorry, can you speak more clearly, Fred? We've tolerated you for many years with absolutely no idea what you're saying.
Didn't MI5 tap Mick McGahey's... he was the NUM president in Scotland, or vice president. They tapped his phone and they couldn't understand a word that he was saying.
The one thing I do know, because I visited Fred, in fact, we were working in... Where were we, Dan? Just recently we were...
We were in Inverness.
Inverness.
Just outside Inverness.
And I learnt a thing, is that if you don't want to get on their bad side, do not use the word Scotch in front of the Scottish, because it just gets their hopes up. This is about the translation company, which has placed an advertisement in the Herald for interpreters of Glaswegian English. There are quite a few distinct languages and dialects spoken in Scotland: English, Scottish Gaelic, Scots, Glaswegian, and the voice that Mel Gibson did in Braveheart. 2 points there. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings that the teams have brought along. Ms. Perkins.
This is a cutting sent in by Michael Patterson from This Is Boston newspaper. A man ran up a bill more than £1,000 on his housemate's mobile telephone by calling sex chat lines while she was in hospital. Mitigating, Berris Brickles, QC, told the court that Dent had made the calls after becoming fascinated with the matter in hand. He said he was now living with his mother and was receiving sickness benefit, having signed off work with a wrist injury.
Simon.
Alistair Carmichael, the Liberal Democrat MP for the distant seat of Orkney and Shetland, according to The Guardian, received a parliamentary travel expenses form which asked, "What is your nearest mainline railway station?" He contacted the fees office to explain that his constituency is in the middle of the North Sea, but was told he had to answer. OK, then, he said, "Oslo."
Mr. McCauley.
This is an amazing coincidence, because mine comes from a similar neck of the woods, and it's about transport. This is from Orkney Today, and it's under the heading of "Learn to Use the Bus." People who want to know how to use a bus can be shown how next Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 2:30 in Kirkwall. The open bus event, part of the sustainable travel scheme, is to allow people who are unfamiliar with buses to come along and be shown how easy it is to use a bus. So, the obvious question is,
how did they get there?
How did you get here?
Let's take a look at the final score. Simon and Fred have got 10 points, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Sue with 13 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the New York Times sent to us by Brian Wigington.
Marie Reed, a sales representative for Ideal Poultry, a large Texas hatchery, said they'd seen a spike this year in demand for baby chicks, along with an upturn in sales of ammunition.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Sue Perkins, Simon Evans and Fred McCauley. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Roderick Crooks and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by Benjamin Partridge and Gareth Gwynne. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.